All right. Now I want to read from the beginning of this chapter. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven. So Jesus is speaking. This is, by the way, the last prayer of Jesus to the Father, even though he prays on the cross. It's the last time he's with his disciples and praying this final prayer to God about the disciples who are not going to see him for a while. And then he obviously resurrects and then sees them again and then leaves them. And all we have now is the Bible. All we have now is the Bible. That's hard for you to believe, that the unseen world is not seen. It's in heaven. It's not seen because that's the way God wants it. Because when something is unseen and you can't see it, and all you have is a letter from God that has truths in it, that has commands in it, that has promises in it, the whole Bible, you have to rely then on faith in something you can't see. You can see the written word of God, but you cannot see the living word of God, Jesus. So you can't see him. But he's coming back, and when he comes back, it'll be the day of the Lord. When he comes back, it'll be the day of the Lord, and that's right after the great tribulation, which mostly involves Israel, although there are others, but it's mostly involving Israel, and she's being punished by God because she relied upon the law rather than the law of Moses rather than the promise of Abraham. All she had to do was believe like Abraham and be patient, and then when she met the law, she would have faith not to see it, not to see what was going to happen, but she'd have faith, and that would have pleased God. But she decided to follow a law, which if you don't have God, you can substitute the law for him and then just turn it into performance. And that's what the Catholic Church did. And that's what the Jewish people did, and that's what Buddhists did, and Hindus, and Muslims, and so on. So they don't really care that there's a God on the other side of it because they make their gods up. They don't really care, but at least Judaism and Catholicism, they knew there was a living God, but they had it all mixed up. They misunderstood that God only wants you to follow this Bible. This Bible, this written word. Now, the Bible, Old and New Testaments, is the only authority that we have on earth for everything that we think, say, and do. Everything. So it's replacing your will, your mind, and your emotions. Most Christians today, though they're born again, they still follow their will, their mind, and their emotions. In other words, they let their emotions justify what they want to do by the mind, and the will agrees to it. But your will does not have to agree to that. Your thoughts are your thoughts, and your emotions are your emotions. But you can defeat them by the word of God. So your will could choose, even as a pagan, you could choose to follow the word of God. Because the word of God is about an unseen world that you can't see, so you can't prove it by will, mind, and emotions. So the humanism of this world, the Christendom, the visible church, the visible anything, is not real. It refers to something that's real, substance. As Danny was speaking earlier, it's speaking about something that is more real than what you think is real.
Yeah.
Because your will not tell you the truth. Your mind will not tell you the truth, and your emotions will not tell you the truth. But that's all you have that you can see. And you can't even see your heart, and you can't even see your soul. So all you see is outward behavior. And so only God sees the heart. Only God can judge the heart. He sees everything, not only in heaven, the unseen world, but he sees everything on earth. And he pays attention to every thought you have, every word you have. So this Bible is our authority for how we live, built on something you haven't seen. You can't see it. You just have to believe that the Word of God tells you the truth, and it cannot lie. And that's God keeping covenant. And most Christians that you know, that I knew, are not really following it in any perfect way. So what you're doing is ignoring the unseen world. But by reading the Bible every day, constantly, taking up your cross daily, the cross is for your will, mind, and emotions. But it has to capture your will. Emotions really don't. They're just emotions. And thoughts just are thoughts. You can think something silly. You can think, you can imagine vain things. I don't think anyone likes me. You're just imagining that. You don't know that. You're just guessing. You're imposing that on reality. I think this is going to be horrible. You're just guessing. You don't know that. When God says rejoice always, that's what defeats that. Rejoice in the Lord always. That defeats it right there. So most conversations that Christians have is the same as the world. They go by their emotions, or they go by their thoughts. I guess homosexuality is okay. It's not. It's an abomination to God. God hates sin, but he loves sinners. And that you have to believe by faith. You'd have to believe that by faith, because you don't know that. And it looks like, you know, God's stock is down and everyone else's stock is, you know, going gangbusters. But God always wins, and he never loses. So no matter how it appears, don't judge by appearance. Judge with right judgment based on the Bible, faith. So faith is what we teach, and it's the opposite of everything else, every other religion and philosophy and way of life. It's opposed to that, and it deliberately is written to attack your will, your mind, your emotion, and that's all you have. That's all you have. But it deliberately wants to destroy them. That's what they call the death of self, or taking up your cross daily. Taking up your cross daily. And I have to say that even though I hear my mind and I hear my, I realize I have a mind and it has thoughts, but I reject them. And I have emotions, but I reject them. So I don't listen to fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. But that perfect love, you haven't even seen that. But I believe that by faith. So I believe that everything is going my way. Why? Because it says so in the unseen world. God has given you every blessing in heavenly places. You don't see it, though. God has given you authority over wickedness, but you don't see it, or you see it occasionally. So the whole idea of God wanting to train his people is to read the Word of God, because in it is the righteousness of God revealed. However, there's a problem, because most people feel that if you're righteous and holy, you should look like it. I don't believe that at all. I believe that you don't look like it often. And so you have to believe by faith that I'm a Christian, even though I'm often listening to my mind and will and emotions. So psychology has triumphed over the Bible, especially in our day. In the ancient world, psychology didn't play a major role. Just whatever is. If the king does this, you can't stop him, and so on and so forth. So most people were living vain lives, but there was no one to correct them. There was no one to They didn't even know what to do. And Catholicism was completely, absolutely, completely wrong in its whole theology. I will prove that. And so is Judaism. Why? Because they didn't meet it with faith. Neither of them. And so they believe that God's righteousness was that by which God is righteous, and then his holiness condemns a sinner who doesn't repent. It just condemns them because they deserve that, because they didn't keep the law. They didn't keep God's law. And so canon law, that's the Catholic word for their laws, those Catholic laws are made up by popes and teaching magisteriums of the church and so on and so forth. Those laws, they prescribe a good work. This is a good work if you shave your head and become a monk. This is a good work if you become, go on a pilgrimage. This is a good work. And they prescribe it. It's something you can see. So-and-so is on a pilgrimage. They're looking at, all kinds of splinters from the cross and so on and so forth. And those things are something you can visibly see. A visible church is not the church of Jesus Christ. Everything we have is by faith in this written word, so the word is above the church. In other words, the church is measured by that word. And so Martin Luther had a different idea, and he believed that a good work is not in the work. A good work is not in the work. It's absolutely 100%. Are you following me so far? It's 100% in God. Only God is tov, good. Only God. And so only God is good means he's the only actor in the world, because all of his actions are perfect. And no one else is perfect. No one else can do what God can do. So he's the only actor in the whole universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because, and this is my message today, they have life in themselves, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, eternal life, Ionios Zoe, Ionios Zoe, everlasting life. And they have it. They don't just have it, they are it. They have eternal life. None of us do. Or you do by faith. And you don't always have to see it. As a matter of fact, you're not going to see reality and substance until Jesus comes back a second time. When he comes back a second time, faith and hope will be gone, because you can see the Lord. And you don't need to. Now you're looking at the substance. Jesus Christ will come, not as Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, but he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will Lord. And his vengeance is for the wicked. That's the true righteousness, that vengeance is toward wicked, because he's coming back to see, and he would forgive anybody at any time, because he's a loving Father. But since people think of him as an angry judge that wants them to behave, and then they shrink back when he comes. The opposite. So we need to pray for them. We need to pray for Catholics and Muslims and Jewish people and, Buddhists and Muslims and so on. Just pray for them, because they don't have any hope. They're ignorant. This secret has been hidden since the foundation of the world and only revealed to a handful of people. Like Abraham. God told Abraham different things that were secrets hidden from the rest of the world. So he is the father of faith. And the whole world will never find peace on earth with God or with one another. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You won't find that. Except everyone accepts that Abraham's faith has to be your faith. Yeah. Abraham was patient. He was promised a big land, and he never got it. Even to this day, the Jewish people aren't, they're in a little postage stamp thing called Israel today, and it has almost more people that are Muslim or Islamic inside of them in the West Bank and in Gaza. I mean, the one has about 7 million people or something like that, and the other has about 6 million, and they have more kids. So it won't be long before they will outnumber the Jewish people. And so it's a problem for them. And the thing is, today they're looking like they're peaceful, but they're not peaceful. They have rockets galore coming in on them, not only from inside, but from outside as well. And so they're going to get their comeuppance, meaning you're still relying on the law to save you. You're still relying on this world. There's no power here. It's all in the unseen world. How many of you know that the unseen world is more powerful than this world that you see? I mean, God always gets his way in heaven. But the Bible says something like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in heaven, there's no coercion. There's no force. None. God speaks a word and it's over. He just speaks a word. He can disable anybody at any time. But so everything is voluntarily done by the good angels, those angels that did not leave their station. They did not leave their place where God placed them. Whereas Satan has not only won away one third of the angels in his fall, but it could win others too. So even of the good angels, because nobody sees the promise. They don't see the promise. Promises are always future. All promises have time attached to them. So when someone makes you a promise, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Well, I do that. I'll never leave Peggy or forsake her. She is my life. And so I mean that, and to the death, physical death, psychological death, any kind of death. Because if a man doesn't even know how to rule his own household, he can't ruin the house of God. And I believe that, but I believe it, but I don't see it. I mean, I see it, but I'm saying I have to believe by faith that it's just partial. But I believe in something that's not partial, but that's all not seen. All of that. In fact, all the promises of God, most of them are not seen today. The Catholic Church is not in God's sight. It's a lukewarm church. It mixes the church and state. It mixes clean and unclean. It mixes all kinds of things. And mixture is something God hates. God is pure. And he wants purity of heart is to will one thing. God. God is my, not only is Jesus my Savior, he's also my Lord, he's also my bridegroom, he's also the one I'm going to marry, he's also the one that gives me my inheritance, he's also the one that gives me the prize of eternal life. So I want to talk today about eternal life. Aionios Zoe. Aionios Zoe. Aionios means everlasting or time which has no beginning or no end. Because everyone here who's a Christian, and I assume everyone here is a Christian because it's a kind of small church and it doesn't have, you know, marble bathrooms and stuff like that. So this is a church you'd have to deliberately come here. And we don't advertise and we don't have bands coming in and so on and so forth. They don't have big screens, and so on and so forth. So it's a miracle that you're all here. Thank you for coming. I'm grateful. But if only Peggy were here, I'd preach anyway. I do all the time at home. I love it. I love it. Because all I have is the Word. I don't have anything else. Everything else I count as dung. Nothing. Worthless. And she is my beloved. She is the best. God has given me the best wife ever. And I say that every day, all the time. And lots of other things. You are a mighty oak of righteousness. And Peggy looks at me like, I am? It's like, what? But I believe those words. It's not a matter of just saying them. I believe those words. I don't see it, but I believe it by faith. You understand what I'm saying? And I behave that way to anybody. You can abuse me all day long. I'm not going to be angry at you. Don't care. I could have big churches. It's easy. It's easy. I'm offered them all the time. I could have easily 1,000 members, easily. I turn them down. I don't want them. I'd rather have you. Why? Because if you're not faithful in small things, who's going to entrust you with the secrets of the kingdom, the mystery of righteousness? So I want to talk to you about the mystery of righteousness today, the holiness, the true holiness of God. So God's whole purpose for you is to get a hold of eternal life. Now, how many here are born again? You're born again. You're born not of the flesh, but you're born of the Spirit. There's only two. You can only do it two ways. You're either born of the flesh, everyone is, and then some become born of the Spirit. That's the new creation. So if you're a spiritual person, then you give spiritual things out of your mouth, and they're all based on faith in the Word of God. They're all built on faith in that Bible, Old and New Testament. I read the Old Testament in Hebrew. I read the New Testament in Greek. And I read church history often in Latin, because those are the classical languages, and there are many reasons for it. But above the cross, you notice it was written in those three languages, not Aramaic and so on. The Aramaic people claim that, it was actually said in Aramaic and then it's translated. For example, the Passion that Mel Gibson did, they spoke in Aramaic as though then that were translated. Not so. First of all, Pilate, who was Latin, he spoke Latin as an official, but actually every day he spoke Greek. So the language of the people was Greek, no matter who you are in Israel. So everyone spoke Greek. So the Greek language prevailed in the culture, even though Latin was an official language you sent back to Rome. And all the buildings have Latin and so on and so forth, but it's official. But nobody had to speak Latin except for the officials. And the same with Hebrew. The Hebrew language was the official language when anything would happen. And but the people spoke Greek. Even the Greek was the dominant culture even during the days of Rome. It was the dominant culture. And even though the Romans have taken over, and they're going to be till the end, by the way. They're the last kingdom that Daniel spoke about. So it starts with Babylon, Persia, Greece, and then Rome. So Rome will always be there, but don't think the others, Babylon, Persian, and Greece, have gone. They're swallowed up in the Roman. I could tell you a lot about this. In 1453, 30 years before Luther was born, in that year, Suleiman the Magnificent was a Muslim that remembered how the Muslims first started out, and they were defeated in 735 A.D. by Charlemagne's uncle. And they were defeated at the Battle of Tours. So, but in 1453, Suleiman the Magnificent totally conquered, and he said, I'm now the king of Rome. He's a Muslim, but he was the king. He made reference to himself as, I took over their biggest church, Hagia, Greek, Sophia. Now it's called Istanbul. that used to be Constantinople, which Constantine formed. You don't want to hear all this stuff. But what it is it's, I'm telling you, God is so efficient. So now today, the Muslim world wants to conquer Christianity, not just Judaism, because they want all of our stuff. And they're here in America. They're everywhere they go, and they want to build a big, they want to make a name for themselves. And so they're following the old way that anything the Christians want, we want that, and anything the Jews have, we want that, and we want to kick them out. So they're wanting to do that. Why? Well, if you're reading the Bible, you're not worried about it. If you're not reading the Bible, if you don't think the Bible, the unseen world, will win, you're mistaken. And so I don't have any fear about them doing anything. As a matter of fact, I know their time. They only have 1,260 days to do what they want to do, and then they're done, 3.5 years. So it's just like almost going to college and almost 4-year thing, and then it's over. So you have to have enough bullets and beans to make it through that. Read the Bible every day. I'm saying that to you knowing some of you won't. It's okay. It's all right. That's your choice. But I'm just telling you, thus saith the Lord, only I say it this way. This is not Old Testament. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is a sin in the church, that no one is reading consistently the Bible. And so we need to read the Bible, and especially in Texas. This is one state under God. And we need to be following that, because we're the only hope for America. You can be a Christian in Utah, but you're surrounded by another religion. You can be a Christian here, but you're surrounded by lukewarm Christians. So wherever you go, you're in the minority. You are no longer in the majority. So this is not a Christian America. It's not a Christian America. It never was, and it never will be. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. So that's John 18:36. If my kingdom is not of the world, as he told Pilate, that means his kingdom is unseen. It's not from thence. You know, it's not from hence. You can't figure out where we are, because the kingdom of God is within you. Did you know that? The kingdom of God is not out there to look at. It's unseen. It's in your heart, but it's not yet in your soul. He's working it today in your soul. And that's why I want to teach you this. You need not only eternal life in your heart, you need it also in your soul, and you need it also in your body, so that you're Christ-like spirit, soul, and body, so that you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. That can't happen right now. You only can do it in the heart. So faith is in the heart, responding to the promises that don't touch the body and soul. They only touch the heart. Now you're born again, and you're a new creation. Kine katesis. And so since that's the case, you don't have a Jewish background or a Muslim background or Gentile background. You only have one thing, Jesus. He taught, he believed, he acted, confessed that you're now my light of the world because I live in you, and you're now the salt of the earth because I live in you, and so you're the dwelling place of the living God. No one else is. No one else is. We Christians should be reigning and ruling right now over the earth, and you can do it through prayer. You can do it through witness. You can do it through your life. You can do it through words. This place could be easily filled. So get going. I'm not saying that. I don't believe you can exhort people against the will of God. And so I don't want you to work. I want you to know Jesus, period. So here's the issue. Eternal life to love God with all your heart and soul and strength and your neighbor as yourself, that without eternal life in you, you can't do that. Maybe you have it in the heart, chair 4, but you don't have it in the soul, chair 5. And since you're not dead, your mind, will, and emotions will still be alive. They have to be dead because you have to humble yourself. Remember how Paul was riding a high horse and putting all the Christians in trouble, in prison, killed, whatever. And God knocked him off his high horse. So you have to be proud in order to be humbled. Did you hear what I said? You have to be proud in order to be humbled. He was proud. He was proud that he was Jewish. He would be like the man in the two men in the temple. Lord, I thank you a lot. I'm not like other men. That's the way Jews pray. And then the other poor guy there went, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And he went home justified. That the Jewish man did not. And therefore the tribulation is for the Jewish people to spare them so that it doesn't last its full endurance. It only lasts 1,260 days. Forget the months and the years. Jewish calendars are not like our calendars. So they only have 30-day months. Every month is 30, including February. And every month adds up to 360 days. So forget all the other days, because today we do it, you know, 364 and a quarter and so on. Leap year and all that. But that could be changed by God. That could be changed by God. What if? What if I'm saying it because I can tell you by unseen world, God could readjust the world so that it's 30 days times 12 is 360. He could just change the axis. All he has to do, just doop, and that's it. It'd go back to the same thing. So you don't know time right now. Nobody knows the day or the time. Remember it says that? Nobody. Why? Because you cannot. You're not even on the right calendar. It's not a Jewish calendar. It's not a Christian calendar. It's not, you know, something that a Julian calendar or something, Gregorian calendar. Uh-uh. All those calendars are off because they're trying to measure the world today. And so you'd have to say it's 29 and a half year days to a month if you added it up as an average. So it doesn't work. But just that little bit, God could change it. And I believe he will. It's in the Bible. So a lot of the things that I say, if you're not reading the Bible, you can't understand what I'm saying. Not that it's not clear. It's clear. But how would you check it out unless you knew what Ezekiel said? Unless you knew what, you know. And the Bible is self-interpreting. In other words, if you read the Bible thoroughly, constantly, the light will go off inside of you. And you will be the only light in this world. So, this whole thing of God wanting you to have eternal life, which is the prize of the Bible. The whole prize is that when Jesus comes back again, immediately you will have your new body and your new soul to match your new heart. Immediately. As soon as you see him descending from heaven, you will then ascend up as he's coming down and take you to your new home in the mid-heavens. So all of that is something you've never been in before. You're not accustomed to that. But for me, it won't be anything interesting because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Everything I'm telling you is in the Bible. You can check it out. It's all good news, and it's good news for us. You don't know who you are. You are beloved of God. And then he has life, and he's the only one that has this everlasting life in himself. He wants you to have life in yourself, but yours is derivative. Because unless you're in relationship to Jesus, unless you're in relationship to Jesus and know him, not just head knowledge, fides historica, but you have to actually have an intimate love affair with Jesus based on what? Faith. It's not based on anything that you've seen. You're not, it's not the days when Jesus was on the earth. He's not on the earth right now. He's up in heaven. But he's on this earth inside of you, where the word of God should be. You're the people of the book. The book of God should be inside of you, so that the word of God comes alive for me every day, and every day is joyous. Every day is Sabbath. Every day is, you know, a wonderful day. I don't have a bad day. There are no such thing for me. Every day is happy for me. Every day is secure for me. No matter what happens, I don't go by what I see. I go by what I can't see. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. Okay, so we're teaching, and by the way, you probably can't hear this message in a lot of places. Probably why we're small. And I don't blame anyone for not believing a word I say. I don't blame them. It sounds like you're intelligent, but actually, you're wrong. The truth is, this word is all you have, and that's all you're going to have until Jesus comes back again. That could be in 5 years. It could be in 10 years. It could be in a very short time, because your calendar's off. But the days are correct. He has not changed the days. Months, years, but he hasn't changed the days. So 1260, you can number them, and that's exactly how it will be. So if you were good at math, you could actually figure out what 1,000 years looks like if you only had 360 days for 1,000 years. And then figure out where we are. And it will, even then you couldn't figure out exactly, but you could almost pinpoint it in a certain season. And the reason is because Jesus was raised from the dead early in the morning, just after the dawning. So they could see, but it was yet dark, it said. So we're in the darkness now. I don't know if you know that. You're in the darkness right now. And when you're in the darkness, that's the time you should whistle and say, God's on the throne. This is not darkness. Darkness is inside of a man. The real darkness, I won't be part of that. I live in the light, because you are the light of the world. And if anyone is to be lighted up, you're the one that has that enlightenment, not like the human enlightenment, but by divine heavenly enlightenment. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Actually, if you translate it correctly, it says, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, exactly as it is in heaven. How is heaven run? By God. How should earth be run? By God. So the world today is far, far away. They're in a rebellion against God. They have enmity against God. Even the churches are. The majority church today, I can't give you numbers. The majority church today is not hot. It's lukewarm. Mixing, any kind of mixture is not God. God is always pure and perfect. And so if it's God, your deeds have to be wrought in God. In other words, doing a good deed is not in the Bible. You say, well, Pastor, it says so. Yes, it does. But you're misunderstanding what it's saying. Doing a good deed is having God do it, not you. So doing a good deed means Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. If you do the deed, it's not good, because you're not perfect. You don't have everlasting life. But if you had everlasting life that will last not only forever, but forever and ever and ever, world without end. Hallelujah. That you haven't seen yet. You'd have to believe in that, and I do. I'm already not here, though I'm here. I'm already in heaven. I'm in the millennium. I'm far beyond the millennium, into the new heaven and the new earth. Because I don't live for this world. I live for another world you can't see. And I think that way. And I take every thought captive to the Word of God. I have thoughts, but I always make them bow, humble themselves, so that they obey the Word of God. And my will, not my will, but thine be done. You can do that on earth. It's possible. That's a Christian. And your emotions, rejoice in the Lord always. There's no time for griping, complaining. You cannot, and I do not. I always give a good report. So if God is not your everlasting Father, then he can't give it to you. But he is your everlasting Father. He has Ionios Zoe. Zoe not the English language, because that's in the Greek too. But it also, in the Hebrew language, Zoe actually means eternal life. Bios would be just your biological life. But you have to kill the biological life, because let me rephrase that. What's not right in you is the flesh. And your soul today is not purified of the flesh. So when Jesus said, I'll forgive all your sins, then I'll purify you. That is, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It means kill your soul. But kill only the flesh of your soul, not the soul itself. Not the heart itself. So it's only talking about the flesh. Get rid of the flesh, which the Word of God does. You read this word, it will kill your soul. Because it goes against your mind. It goes against your emotions. It goes against your will. So your will right now, you can just decide today, I think I'm going to read the Bible from now on. It's easy to do. And what will happen? There will be a riot inside of you. Yes. To say, you're tired right now. Or, you know, you don't even deserve to do this or whatever. You will have a battle because your mind doesn't want to submit to that. Your will doesn't want to submit to that. Your emotions do not want to submit to that. Why? They don't want to die. They want to live. And so we live a completely resurrected, know him by the power of his resurrection. How can you do that except it's unseen? But I do. I know him by the power of his resurrection. And conforming myself to his death and fellowship of his sufferings. I love suffering. Thank you. Why? When it's from God. And so I can suffer all kinds of things because I believe that God uses sufferings to draw me to himself. I think somebody was saying that in their testimony this morning about David. David was saying that. He was saying that if I suffer something here, God's actually using that to draw me close to him. And he said, it's even when he's alone, when he's all by himself, that's how God is teaching him, rejoice right then. So as Christians, you rejoice always. How many know that that's impossible for your flesh? But it's possible in the Spirit. Only the Spirit can give those kind of joy unspeakable fruits to God. So even though, and let me just use Jesus as an example. Remember Jesus, they said to him, good teacher, because he walked on water and healed the sick and did all kinds of miracles and signs and wonders. So they thanked him for that as though he did those things, but he answered this way. No one is good but God. And the Father who dwelleth within me doeth the works. So unless God does the works, you didn't do them. But if God does the works, then your deeds are wrought in God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to cause you to conform to the unseen world. The Holy Spirit is the spirit between the Father and the Son. It's not belonging to one or the other. That's what split the whole Eastern Church from the Western Church at some point. But that's just arguing over words. Because both of them know that filioque in the Latin means and the Son. Well, the Western Church added that because they didn't like the Eastern Church, and the Eastern Church said that. That wasn't done by an ecumenical council, so now they split forever. But they could come back together again today. Easy. Because they didn't say the scriptures you're looking at, we also can read too. They just didn't like it because you did it in the wrong way. So that's the whole church. And that's why Solomon the Great was able to do it without any help from the West, because the West didn't care. You know, let those people fall. So Hagia Sophia, biggest church in Christendom, that big church has a dome that's huge. Dome. And now it's a mosque today, because all they did was put minarets and, you know, on the outside of it. And it's the biggest thing that the Muslims have. Huge. So now it's a Muslim thing. I'm going to say something. You won't understand it, but think about it, because it's in the scripture. The Muslims now have inherited Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. So they actually believe the world belongs to them, because they defeated the Romans in 1453. But isn't it interesting that 30 years later, Martin Luther is born, and in a few years, he also became a doctor of the scriptures, and the Greek texts, there were 12 of them, 12 Greek texts to preserve them so that the Muslims wouldn't destroy them, burn them. They made their way to the West. And Erasmus in the West, who was the great scholar of the day, translated the Latin text into Greek. And the Greek text, instead of saying penitentium agite, Latin, it now said metanoia, change your mind. And then the Hebrew says nacham, which means comfort yourselves. In the middle voice, comfort yourselves. In other words, the verb reflects back on the person saying it. Tell Israel her warfare is over. Tell her, this is prophesying, tell her, you can't see it, tell her that it's over. In other words, they will make it. They're going to have a bright future. So in heaven, along with Christians, there will be Jewish people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so on and so forth, all right there. But even more than that, they're purifying during the tribulation, 1260 days, they're now purifying the sons of Levi. In other words, they go through the tribulation, but they're not killed like the others because they're priests and God spares them. And so priests are familiar with mercy. How many know that the only way you got into the kingdom of God is by mercy? It's by mercy. The Catholics used to teach that, but they'd have, in this ear, a lily. This is my right side. Then in this ear, a sword. If you were bad, then the holiness of God got you. But, and then you'd be condemned, and then you'd be punished, and you're done for, a lake of fire. But in this ear, it's a lily if you're a good person and you do good works. But I just told you, Christians don't do good works. Your righteousness is not that you're righteous, it's that Christ in you is righteous through you, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-government. That is Jesus Christ in you. You didn't do it, God did it. So since God did it, your deeds were wrought in God, you're going to heaven. Now, if you don't have eternal life, none of that is possible. You have to have this life eternal coursing in you, even though it's derivative, by faith. Then when he comes back, faith is gone, hope is gone, but you still have love. Yeah. So love, because the greatest of these is love. Now, that's why you love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor even as you love yourself. Why? That's all that God ever wanted from you. And how did you do it? By faith. Until he comes back. Then you'll see it. Then you actually will feel in yourself. Your feelings have been changed. You actually feel love for people. And you know it. There's no doubt. then you will actually, your thoughts will be his thoughts, and you'll know it. And you'll actually worship God by an act of will, and you'll know it. Not my will, but thine be done. You'll be just like Jesus in every way. Is what I'm saying makes sense? I mean, if it makes it, it's a miracle. But if it makes sense to you that God's in charge of everything, he's never lost a battle and he'll never lose a battle. Satan has never won a battle and he'll never win a battle. Satan is actually a creature of God. At any time, God can eliminate him. And he will when he comes back again. Just like he'll marry the bride, just like he will also put Israel back into the whole land that was promised to Abraham. All unseen, but you will see it with your naked eyes. You will see all these things with your naked eyes. You'll see it. Because you're a new creation created by God to actually love God with all your heart and soul and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. But today you have to do it by faith. But tomorrow you'll actually see it and know it. To see something is faith is gone, hope is gone. Now you see what you, he's the substance now is he's going to marry you. And you have to be not born of the word. Spoke the word, there they were. No, this one is different. This one is you are now made out of God. Ek tu theou, out of God. You're now a partaker of the divine nature. New creation. But you have to believe that by faith because you don't see it. You have to believe that by faith because you have the old temptations right there in your will, mind, and emotions trying to say, be yourself, be yourself. Yourself would be a sinner. If you were yourself, you'd realize, and I'm not going to be explicit, you'd realize every sin in the book is yours. People don't want to face that. I'm not exhorting you. I'm just simply saying you don't want to face that everything in the Bible that's wrong, that it's had enmity with God, is you. Nobody is more than you or less than you, but it doth not yet appear. So you would be in the judgment with the whore of Babylon and her daughters. You would also say, he would have to say of you, you are of your father the devil. He would also, and so on and so forth. So I'm just saying, don't think that you've escaped sin just because you don't do it. Because it's not to be seen. So religion is not something seen. And that's why they persecuted the early Christians, because they didn't have a temple. They didn't have offerings. They didn't have an altar. They didn't have anything external. The early church met in churches. And that was just somebody's home converted. The early church met just down by the river. They met in the marketplace. I'm telling you, the early church didn't have buildings they went to. You're the building he's building. You are the building God is building. So when he says he's building up his church, I will, what? Build my church. He's talking about you. It's not a building. It's you. I will build my people. That's what he's saying. Holy people. How are you holy? By faith. But it's not just by faith that you don't do it. You actually do it, but you do it by faith. How do you do it? Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Am I clear so far? Now, I can easily then read this 17th chapter, which I've done, and I'm going to read it. Jesus spoke these things, lifted up his eyes to heaven, said, Father, the hour has come. He's time-bound now as Son of Man. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you gave to him authority, this is so important, that word authority, exousia, over all flesh, sarx, so that to all which you gave to him, he may give to them everlasting life. Ionian zoein. That word. Because it has verbal nouns. It has all kinds of uses. But The word I gave you is ionios, zoe. But this one is ionion in this particular verse. But look at the next verse. It's going to define that. He may give to them, us, everlasting life, and this is everlasting life. That is ionios, zoe, that they may know you. That word comes from the word gnoskos, gnosko. What it means is you'll know him intimately. You won't just know him with head knowledge. You'll actually know him intimately. And that's why the more you spend time with God, beholding him, we're changed. You're changing so that your soul no longer has dominion over you. You're changing so that the flesh is receding. He must increase, I must decrease. So God wants you to read the word because those words are life. I mean, they're full of life. This is everlasting life, not just bios, biological. Everyone exists today, but you have to choose who you'll be. But how do you choose it? You can't. It's a promise. It's not something you choose like I can choose. It's something I can choose to read the Bible, but I can't choose to make God keep his promise today. But listen to the promise. When I was crucified, you were crucified. That's a promise. You don't have to wait. But you don't see it. So I believe that when he died, you died. That's what I believe. I believe all of you are dead, if you're a believer. All of you are dead because when he died, you died. So that when he was buried, you were buried. So that when he was resurrected, you've been resurrected. Because you're in him. Because he's in you. The reason he came is to give you eternal life. And now you have it with a new heart. Now you're beginning it, new soul. And pretty soon, it'll be new strength. So love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. All of it. All of it. Well, we haven't seen that yet. It's donum partum, Latin. Donum partum right now, but it soon will be donum totum when Jesus comes back. You will actually see when you're riding your cloud, you will actually have love for not only other believers, but you'll have love and love even for your enemy. You'll have love for God, which is the most important capital P, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You got that the minute you have a new heart. Now your heart is knit to God. Now you want your soul to line up with that. And then you want your life, your behavior, your conduct to line up with your character and your faith. So that's what, you can't do that. God does that. You don't have to do that because he's in you to will and to do. He's in you to will. That's your soul. And to do. Do. When he comes back, he won't say well believed. He won't even say well willed. But what he will say is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. That's what he's going to say to all of us who have done good works because you didn't do them. God did them for you, chair 4, in you, chair 5, through you, chair 6, so that men, when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father, which art in heaven. Now, this don't regard me, but I'm telling you the truth. That will set you free. This teaching is powerful. And it's powerful because it's something that you can grab a hold of by faith, even though you don't see it's an unseen world. I believe the unseen world is more real than this world. You will actually see substance. You will actually see, not with these eyes, but with spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual deeds, spiritual everything. Why? God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is holy. So that is what God is looking for. Himself doing it for you, in you, through you. Praise God. There's a joy right there. That God has to do it because I'm not able to do it. And when I sin or when I give in to sin, that's okay. That's forgivable. Do you understand when I say it's okay? I don't mean it's okay. I mean That just shows you that you have to humble yourself and say, I'm not God. God is God. And if God doesn't do it, it won't be done. I can't do it for God. Because God wants relationship. All your performance follows relationship. We do good works, but we don't do them. Christ in me does them. And because of that, I give glory to God. I'm humble myself to say, I didn't do that. I know I didn't. That's an unseen world. Wow, that was God. So when you do something, you can't even examine yourself. You try to examine yourself, but you can't because you don't know your heart. You don't know your soul. He knows all the secret things. Deuteronomy 29:29. The revealed things are yours, but the hidden secret things are his. There's a secret knowledge that has been hidden for all ages. So mystery of iniquity rules the world today, but the mystery of righteousness is gaining. And you think your stock is down, your stock is up. Your stock is soaring, but you don't know it because you don't see it. But don't want to see it. Just say, I don't need to see it. I believe it without seeing it. Jesus said to Thomas, you see, you believe because you now stuck your hand in my side or put it through the finger holes. But blessed are those who, not seeing yet, believe. That's a miracle of God. That's a miracle of God. You can't make him do that. But when God speaks to you, you know you've heard the living God. It happened to me. It happened to me. I remember the day, the hour, everything. It's so vivid. I was an unbeliever. And then all of a sudden, one day, I was a pastor, but I was horrible. But one day, Jesus spoke to me and it was over. I knew that I knew that I knew. I learned that from Baptist or somebody. But I liked it. It made sense and it just struck me. There is a God and Jesus is his son. I completely then confessed my sins. It's just one of the ones that I knew. And then I said, well, God, pick up all the other ones because I can't even think of them right now. There's not time. But you are now de jure, according to law, you are now Savior. And I'll die over this. But I'm not ready to make you Lord because I think I'd have to lie about that if I said I'll behave myself. I can't. So you have to do that. I didn't even know the scripture then which said he forgives you, then he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, then he perfects you in love. I didn't even know those scriptures. I mean, I read them, but they didn't mean anything to me. But all of a sudden now it's my book. It's my life. And ever since then, I have been married and I would not let this go. No matter what my behavior looked like, I didn't care. I knew what God had said was true. And I knew that there was a God. And you could not shake me from it. Because I clung to this word right here, which said, this is good news. And I haven't been living by it. But all of a sudden, I'm living by it from now on. To the death. So this is eternal life, verse 3. That they may know you, the only true God, aletheos, true. So you're going to know him, the only true God. Why is that? Because of eternal life. Because he's the only one that has eternal life. Now he wants to give it to you. So now you will live eternally just like him, only yours is derivative because you have to be in relationship to him. If you're not in relationship to him, you cannot have this. And if you would fall away, you'd fall away back to where you were. Because you have to have, this is the prize that is waiting for us, eternal life, spirit, soul, body. Now you actually see it and know it with your own eyes, with your own experience, with your own, you'll have experiences with God, but you can have them now by faith. You don't have to measure them. You don't need to see it to believe it. You need to believe it to see it. And this is everlasting life, that they may know you intimately, the only true, aletheos, God, Theo, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So those are the two things. Now, this is eternal life. This is eternal life. And you'd have to believe on his words because that's all you have. You'd have to believe on his words in order to believe on the living word, which is Jesus Christ, who is up in heaven, and you don't see him. You don't see him. You don't see him until he comes back again. And nor should you. Oh, I had a vision. No, you didn't. You had something, but you can't say, you can say it's a vision or something, but you didn't actually see him. I've had those. And I saw him, but I know I didn't see him. I mean, I know that I said I see him because I did. It would be embarrassing if I told you what he looked like. But anyway, I did. And I was horrified, shocked. But God, when he reveals himself to you, and he only does this to the ones he loves, is because he loves you, you will go through problems. Did that? The ones that he loves are the ones that are troubled the most. He's not even interested, you know, in the president or the previous guy or whatever. He's not even interested in them. He's not even interested in Trump. He's not interested in all that. He's not into politics and economics and so on. He's into the church, which is hot from the time of the Reformation until now. So even though you're in the days of Laodicea, lukewarm church, that's the only sin. That last church is the most lukewarm of all, mixed with this world. So though that's okay. You could live from the Philadelphia church, the sixth church, one that was right before us. And that was no sin in that church. Why? Because they preached faith, just like Abraham, just like Jesus. Jesus' Father in heaven is the same. He acknowledged the Father, also did Paul, also did all kinds of people, but Luther did. He was not just, you know, running a system. Every other theologian that I know has to have a system of some sort, a theology of some sort that makes sense, not Luther. Luther spoke having a living relationship. He knew him. There are many words for know. This word is intimate knowledge of God. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. When you know God is working in your life, I mean, it's so awesome. It's so powerful. You can endure anything. And you think, well, I couldn't take that. Yeah, but that's your emotion speaking. Well, that would be too much for me. That's your emotion speaking. Or that's your mind speaking. Or that's your will speaking. Well, it doesn't matter. When God calls you, trust him. When he calls you, you don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to know Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. You don't have to know anything. All you have to hear is God's word. Just read it. You just read it. You don't read it to become a Christian. You just read it. Because it's all promise after promise after promise after promise. And they're all for you. You're the promisee. He's the promisor. And everything he said is going to come to pass exactly as he said it. Exactly. I'm literally reading the word of God. When I say literal, I don't mean literal. I mean sensus literalis, which means whatever it says, that's the way it is. That's literal. If it's a metaphor, it's a metaphor. I am the door of the sheep. He wasn't a door. This is my body. You can't, that doesn't make any sense substantially. But it's effectively what he's just said. So pay attention to the grammatical use in the Bible because it's just like everyday language. There's nothing fancy about any words in the Bible. There's nothing, they just use regular language. Now that it's been translated into English, the best one I know is the King James Version, even though it's wrong. I know it's wrong in several cases, but they aren't enough to destroy your faith. Whereas the others, I do not trust. All of them. So all the modern ones are built on different texts, not the Textus Receptus of the Greek language. That one is one I own. This was done way back in the 1700s. And as far as I know, they aren't everywhere. Maybe less than 24. But I own it. And therefore I can read in the 17th, that means the century, I can read that it was written. This is the one. And there aren't many of them. That's why I have it. It's in my refrigerator. I don't want it to be messed up. No, it's not my refrigerator. But so I can easily say that's not in the original Textus Receptus. That is the received text that came down from what Erasmus translated from. There were 12 of them. And a lot of them may be in the Vatican. I don't know where they all are. But they were jeweled. They were precious. They held them very high because they had to be handwritten. This was before Gutenberg. Gutenberg comes right after this period of time. Gutenberg, about the time Suleiman the Great took over, is the time that printing, and one of the first books they printed was Martin Luther's New Testament. And then pretty soon he had the whole Bible in Hebrew and Greek. That Bible, he changed the German language forever. The High German that Goethe and other people wrote is in Luther. He invented the language just by going down to the marketplace every day and hearing them say, a word, and he realized that's the German word for baptizing. You know, maybe the lady put the spoon under the water. Ah, so that's what it is. And he invented then the spoken language and turned it into writing. And that it changed Europe. It changed the world. So God has done only good in this whole world. God is good. If you say any other word, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You cannot change it. Everything in the Old Testament, everything in the New Testament, if you read it by the Spirit, it gives life. The other gives death. The other gives death. So what I want you to have is eternal life, and I pray everyone here has it. Just by reading your Bible every day, it comes by hearing. So when you read it out loud so that it goes into this ear. This is not the ear, but you have a spiritual ear that's receiving that for the heart. So the written word, just as it is, don't want to see it, just as it is, that will reach your heart and give you eternal life. And it's total, but not the soul and not the body till Jesus comes back again. Now, I'm going to close with this. Okay. Relationship with God always precedes my performance of a good work. In other words, if I'm going to do a good work, one that's acceptable to God, it has to be done by him. Relationship with God, that relationship, if you don't have that through gnosis, if you don't have that, you can't get this next thing, performance of a good work. So you have to have the written word, and then through that, have a relationship with God by him revealing himself. That always precedes my performance of a good work, so that it may be seen that my deed was wrought in God because I acted in the light of his truth. You can read that in the third chapter, just after, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then it goes on to say in the next couple of verses, so that your deeds are wrought in God because you didn't do them. He did them through you, for you. And that is a miracle right there. When you see that, you're a Christian. You know you're a Christian. But that's all. And even the world will see that. Even the world will see that. Christianity is totally built around eternal life. That's the prize. That's the thing. And all of your inheritance comes from that. Once you have eternal life, you get all the inheritance of heaven. Everything. Everything, nothing is withheld from you. I don't know if that pleases you, but it pleases me. That inheritance that he's talking about is not just the Jewish people being back in their land, because that is temporal. That is temporal. Only 1,000 years. This one is, and by the way, in the 8th chapter, 56th verse, 8th chapter of John, 56th verse, 56, it says this, Abraham, Jesus, talking 2,000 years earlier, saw my day, 1,000 years. He saw my day, the millennium, after the tribulation. He saw my day and rejoiced. Boy, he was excited about that. His bones yet haven't been resurrected, because the dry bones are the whole house of Israel. And those dry bones in Ezekiel, we'll get to that later. But those dry bones, sinew upon sinew, you know, just everything began to line up. And God made a new people out of those Jewish people. That's purifying the sons of Levi. And all of a sudden, the saints that come back with him, including King David, by the way, because remember, he prayed this prayer. I think it's the 10th verse in in Isaiah 40, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. What if God literally does that? Give him a new heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Spiritual life. That's your soul. What if he actually does that and King David is actually resurrected to rule over Jerusalem, which rules over the Gentiles for 1,000 years? Don't think he's lost his place in heaven. But he may not rule. Maybe he's ruling from heaven. Why? Because it says King David. So that's possible. If you read the Bible, you'd understand that what I'm saying has a basis. It's an authority for me. So I believe the best is yet to come. And I believe that we in Texas hold the key for America. Now, that could be the flesh, because I've been wrong before. But there's something to what I say, so you have to seek God on it. But I believe that what God hath done here in this state is different than any other state. And it's the reason why we're blessed today. It's the reason why we defeated Santa Ana. Santa Ana believed, and this is what he found, this flag at the Alamo. It said, God and liberty. And that's exactly what Fanon wrote when he asked for help. God and liberty. Ah, this is their motto. They think God is for liberty. I don't. I think God is for everybody behaving themselves under me. He was a tyrant. He was a civil and religious tyrant. And he was going to impose upon them. But when they resisted and said, we're going to stand against you, then he was going to exterminate them to the man. Without any question, just like at the Alamo, all the men and soldiers and so on, even women and children, were all killed because they had that American background that they believed God wanted people to be free so that they could worship God with all their heart and soul and strength and love the neighbor as themselves. And then they also said that what he's going to impose upon us, forget the economic and political and social, we could agree on all those. They would even submit to that. But forget that. It's religion. It, meaning the Mexican government, denies to us the right to worship the Almighty according to the dictates of our own conscience, freedom. Instead of, because what they're doing it for is just for their own sakes, instead of worshiping God, the true and living God. It's taken right out of Corinthians. I think it's 1:9, but whatever it is. That's taken right out, and everyone knows it. Everyone knows, wow, he just pulled that from the Bible. Because it's not said of any other religion. This is glory to God. Just this is for God's glory, the true and living God, aletheia and true, and also living eternal life. That's the true God. He has life in himself. Jesus has life in himself. The Holy Spirit has life in himself. So what you are looking at, and you know, if you're intelligent and you don't like what I say, it's no problem. Because be yourself, whatever you are. I can't force you. I will not. But I can tell you the truth. This is the truth. Read it in the Bible. Then you'd be able to say amen. That's why the Baptists say amen. Or any other church that does that. The reason amen means let it be so what you have said. I already know that myself. That's what amen means. Let it be so. What you have just said, let it be so, because I already know that myself. It doesn't mean, amen, keep preaching. That doesn't what it wasn't mean that. It means, let it be so what you have said. So if you want to say amen. That's exciting. This is eternal life. I can't believe I would ever inherit eternal life. That's impossible, but it's unseen. But I believe that the best has been saved to the last. All right. Lord Jesus, cause this message to get into every heart that eternal life is the prize. And it's something by which we will inherit that which you promised. Not only in heaven, but in the new heavens and the new earth. Thank you, Lord God, that you will keep every promise that you've ever made before time runs out. And then that new heaven and that new earth will be world without end. Thank you, Lord God. That gives us something to cling to by faith now, but then by sight later. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Amen. I love y'all. To him are all things, for him and through him, and to him are all things. Him be all glory, to him be all glory, to him. To him be all glory, to him be all glory, to him be all glory.